let's welcome in first the audio only listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Give us a thumbs up, give us a like, give us a follow wherever you are on whatever platform you're listening in on. Let's jump into it, Ray. We just reviewed linebacker. So if you didn't, if you are just tuning in audio only, go to YouTube. You could check that breakdown of the linebacker position. But Ray, for me, I think that there's a clear top three in this group. And then there's the two guys at the back end. And I think the gap is like massive, in my opinion. And I had at five Demetrius Knight Jr., but I could see it either way. And for those, again, audio only, Demetrius Knight Jr. out of South Carolina is a 25-year-old linebacker. He's 6'2", 235, 1,400 career snaps this past year at Carolina, South Carolina. And did okay at the combine, 4.58 40. His grading, 82.8 defensive grade, 85.4 run defensive grade, 74.9 coverage grade. He's a good linebacker. He is what I want to see as a I think every team can have both, right? You could have the standard linebacker, which is the one I'm very comfortable with. And then you could have a guy like Demetrius Knight Jr. who wants to run all over the field and create plays and just create chaos, be a big thumper, right? Be a run stuffer. But he guesses a lot on tape, right? Like there's so many over pursuits. There's so many times he takes a wrong step and it ends up burning him. And also, I just think that at 235, I didn't see him play with that kind of, you know, intensity, that kind of size. Like I would have liked to see a little bit more. Again, 25 years old. I don't think there's room to grow with this guy, which is another problem. And because of that, like to me, at the earliest, fourth round pick for me at the earliest. But I mean, I'd be open to you convincing me otherwise.
He is what he is, which is a two down linebacker. You can't play him on third down. He does not have the foot speed. He does not have the athleticism to drop back and give you any type of value in that scenario. But to me, he's my clear linebacker four, because at least what he's supposed to do, I think he does well. Even with someone like Chris Paul Jr., what he's supposed to do well, I don't see him do that well because you play coverage, you're a third down linebacker. Let's say, I mean, to me, you can't play him on first and second down, period. I just can't do it. I don't see him being viable in any aspect on first and second down in the NFL. So if you're going to be a third down linebacker, but you're going to play screens the way I just watched you play screens, you're going to have trouble passing off crossers or disrupting crossers the way you're supposed to. What value are you bringing? You just, for that, I'll just put a third safety on the field and leave it at that. So to me, Demetrius Knight is hit or miss at what he does, but there's some hits literally when he is thumping in the box there. And so I have him in the fourth round as my fourth backer, because you know what you're going to get. Yes, he's going to guess, he's going to miss. Linebacker's hard, but he has his defined role, and perhaps you kind of grow and get a little more comfortable with that. Whereas someone like Chris Paul, he's undersized for the position, can only play third down to me in the NFL. And even so, he has some struggles there. I would have Demetrius Knight four, and I won't even say that I have Paul at five right now, because we didn't include them in the breakdown, but there's guys like Kobe King from Penn State, Cody Simon from Ohio State here, who may be your more traditional two down backers, not necessarily the same profile as Chris Paul. But to me, they're just better players. So, you know, I'm not even going to call him fifth. I guess he's fifth out of this group for me. But I don't see, put it this way. This is the all 22 show, right? I don't see that player grading well in all 22. I can't see it. I can't see how Chris Paul, because A, coverage is a high variance sort of performance based metric, tracker, whatever you want to call it anyway. When you put in the fact that he himself is inconsistent at it, I don't see how it translates well. I just don't.
I remember watching Kobe King, and some of the things about him, while I agree with you, and he's probably a guy I would like more than these two, because he is a bigger bodied guy. He's a thumper. He's a run stopper. But I definitely noticed athletic limitations to the way he played the game. But Chris Paul, for me, I did all of my analysis before I looked up his combine stuff. So I will just kind of put that little precursor in there. And for those, again, audio only, he went to Ole Miss, 22.3. Wow. 22 years old, 6'1", 222 pounds, combined 4.63, 40, 87.2 defensive grade, 84.6 run defensive grade, and an 84 pass rushing grade. It's funny because before I again looked at the combine stuff, I was like, wow, his linebacker stance is like perfect. Like he gets low, he's got a nice squat. He looks good. Yeah, very athletic. I was like, wow, like super athletic. I think, and then my note in the negatives, I was like, oh, he might be undersized. Like maybe might just be like a little bit undersized here. And then I found out he's 220 pounds at the combine. But yeah, a lot of the things you said are very justified. This is a very athletic linebacker that I think loves running to the football wherever it is. And one thing that I might disagree with you slightly, I think his reaction is extremely advanced. And I think he sees things very well as a traditional linebacker. Problem is he's 220 pounds and like you can't necessarily play traditional linebacker at 220 pounds in the NFL. And I think that's why you saw so many times like he's in a position and then all of a sudden he gets hooked or he's in position. Somebody locks onto him and he's just done, right? He can't get off those blocks. He sees things in front of him extremely well. But once that contact gets made, it's just too easy to wall him out. It's too easy to get hands on him and stonewall him. And I think he also might make a few too many mistakes because of being overly quick to the spot or just overly excited in the way he plays football. So I kind of have him as well, maybe a fourth round pick in that range. And again, I think it's clear that there's those two guys at the back end of this group. And then, yes, there might be even guys other than these two that we would work in above them. But
I want to call out one thing too.
Sure.
So in looking at Chris Paul's game logs, right? So he has 11 tackles for loss on the season. 2.5 of those were against Furman, 1.5 against Middle Tennessee State, 2 against Georgia Southern. So we're already looking at what? More than half of those in those three games against just non-conference kind of, throwaway games here. One against Oklahoma, which was a very poor offense this year. 2 against Arkansas, which was okay. And then 1 against Mississippi State, who was 2-10 and 0-8 in conference play. So kind of racks them up against the weak end of the schedule here. And then when it comes time for some of the bigger opponents here, just kind of fades away. Sorry, I just wanted to.
All right, so at number 3 for me, Ray, is Carson Schwechinger from UCLA for audio only. He is a 6'2", 240-pound linebacker out of UCLA, 800-plus career snaps, 39.5-inch vert, 20 reps on the bench press, 80.6 defensive grade, 90 pass rushing grade, 74.1 coverage grade. And this is a player that I am always going to like. I know it. I'm biased. I'm going to like this guy because he plays an old school style of linebacker. He doesn't play the new age style. He is, again, 240 pounds. We're talking about a beefier guy. Fantastic, like stuff in the hole, great vision, great instincts, decent ability to drop back in zone coverage. I showed that when we did the tape, and I just love his size and strength. I just think that there's no value adds with this guy, right? Like you're not getting a guy that's going to be a really great blitzer at the next level. You're not getting a guy that's going to be a man-to-man coverage guy that can line up anywhere. Like that's just not what you're getting. You're getting a guy that can play traditional middle linebacker, but he's going to be on the field every down. Like he really could. And I think he can play for 15 years in this league just because like Bobby Wagner's doing it. And he's that kind of a linebacker. Like these linebackers that have this skill set tend to do well in the NFL, but it also does well in all 22 because hopefully a team doesn't ask this guy to cover a slot receiver one-on-one or cover, the best, Brock Bowers one-on-one. That's not going to happen with a guy like this. So I think he's a player that will get set up for success. Did you also have him at 3?
I had him at 3, but very close to 2. Like I have him and Walker very close. To me, Walker's best asset is blitzing and just playing forward as opposed to the read and react, whereas read and react is better for Schwechinger. And he's got the 240 plus pound frame and can cover some ground when he runs, which is why I was so close and kind of still am close to putting him as linebacker too. I'm still going back and forth on it, not to be a coward, but they're different styles. And to me, Carson Schwechinger, there's two things that each has that the other doesn't right now. Walker has the sort of the natural sort of athleticism, the plus athleticism, if you will, to, you know, go ahead and make explosive plays from the linebacker position, whereas Schwesinger has a bit more of the read and react and the ability to kind of navigate the box. Both of those, well, one is just sort of natural. The other is really hard to develop. So to that end, I'm typically the guy that goes, you know, I chase the ceiling. So for that, I'm going to take the natural ability over the learned skill. But that's a very tough to learn skill, which may be more valuable than, I mean, Patrick Queen is a hit and miss linebacker who can make explosive plays. And we see how over time that can kind of get old for a defense and doesn't always hold up well and age well in the NFL. So that's why I go back and forth. But right now I have Jalen Walker still at two because I think the bones are there and he's not bad necessarily at the things he needs to clean up on. So I think I have them the same as you, but I have them really close.
So let's break it down, right? Because I think that's a really good point you made where I think if you ask me who my linebacker two is, which is supposed to be this conversation, for me, it's Carson Schwesinger. But when you're talking about who I think has more upside, who the NFL is going to draft way higher, you know, those kind of questions, the upside alone, right? It's definitely Jalen Walker, right? Which is why I also have him at two. And again, audio only, this is Jalen Walker out of Georgia, 21 years old, 6'1", 243, played both edge and linebacker throughout his time at Georgia and did not participate at the combine, but 73.1 defensive grade, 83.6 pass rushing grade, and a 67.5 coverage grade. I think that it'll be interesting because I don't know if he's a linebacker. Like, I'm not sure, right? When I watched the tape, what I liked about it is him as an edge rusher. It's not really him as a linebacker. So will a team draft him and say, you know, this is an edge rusher that we can maybe move around just to keep him on the field sometimes? Or is a team going to draft him and say, first, we're going to play him at linebacker, and after that, we'll move him around and hope blitz and stuff like that? I think if he is a linebacker first player, I think he's going to struggle pretty hard in the NFL. But if a team drafts him, which I think they will because of what I saw on tape, as an edge rusher, I think he's going to be really, really good and really talented and used as a weapon in different ways. That's going to be very, very special. But just like some of my notes, right? Insane advantage as a pass rushing linebacker. Huge advantage as a spy linebacker as well. We talk about, like, think about, you know, if you now have Jaden Daniels in your conference or Lamar Jackson is in your conference, like, I want Jalen Walker on my team because this is a guy that I know can play spy better than anybody else. He has rare abilities to play edge. He's a great downhill mover. You talked about that, right? It's like anything downhill in front of him, he's doing explosively. He's doing extremely well, better than anybody else probably that we watched. But I also don't think he knows how to instinctually play linebacker, right? He gets caught receiving blocks constantly at the second level. He doesn't read and react at all in the way that you expect a linebacker to. And I think that also, like, in pass game, yes, he could get in a zone, but not better than the other linebackers we talked about today. It's not like a plus trait for him. It's just like, I think he can do it if you ask him to, because, you know, you want to disguise him as a linebacker this play, and then the next play he's coming off the edge hot. Like, that is an advantage, right? And I see that as an advantage for a team, but it's not something that you want to just, like, you know, you don't want to bank on him being a coverage linebacker.
Yeah, he almost fits perfectly into, you mentioned Jaden Daniels, if he's in your conference or division or what have you. He almost fits perfectly into Dan Quinn's scheme as a Leo, kind of the stand-up edge rusher or set the edge, rush the passer type of backer. So depending on fit, his stock could go way up, especially in a platform like All 22. Otherwise, Carson Schwesinger does all the other little things right that he was certainly going to grade higher. But yeah, with the right fit, Jalen Walker can definitely provide stuff that Carson Schwesinger in the right fit simply can't because of natural ability. So fit's important for these two guys.
Fit is very important. And we didn't really talk about it, so let's do it real quick. Like, where do you think Schwesinger lands in this draft?
Oh boy. I have him as a late two, early three. You know, late two would probably be better for him, not just because obviously the high draft capital, because now you're talking about better teams, likely better defenses, where you can kind of plug in a standard linebacker, 240-pound plus linebacker, if you will, and just continue progressing with your defense. Whereas someone like a Jalen Walker, who I have more as a mid to late second, You know, if you go to a team that is sort of rebuilding and you know, like think of the Cardinals last year, the last couple of years where they're devoid of talent. If you throw someone like a Jalen Walker in a unit like that, he would struggle because he needs a certain plan. And when you're just trying to survive and get back up to baseline, that's not going to end well for someone who doesn't have the finer points of the position and nuance down, like Jalen Walker still needs to work on, that a Carson Schwechter does have down. So fit is important in that respect. I think, you know, it's a cop out to say obviously the better environment is better for both, but especially for Jalen Walker, I think he's more susceptible to the environment around him if he's drafted as a linebacker. But again, a nice scheme fit in something like Dan Quinn's defense could go a really long way if he's a stand-up, edge-setting, pass-rushing type of backer.
So I think in this or in a normal draft, I probably agree with you that Carson Schwechter is maybe an early third, late second round pick guy. But in this draft, I think the conversation is different, and I think this is probably an early second round pick in my mind in this draft because of the talent that he has. And for Jalen Walker, I think, again, because he offers a lot of flexibility, teams love that, right? And you're talking about what on tape at least looks like a very good athlete. Like, he didn't do the combine. I think he'll probably do a pro day. We'll get some information, some numbers in here. But we're talking about a guy that I think the NFL is going to be really high on. And I've seen a lot of evaluators, like the top dog evaluators, are very high on this guy, like talking like top 10 pick kind of guy. Right.
Yeah, that's insane. I have like 14 first round picks, like first round grades in this class. So when I say he's a mid second, that could be like 24th overall at the end of the day. Right. Right. It's not necessarily meaning that he's 45th on the board.
See, but I disagree with you that I think in any draft, I think because of the flexibility and the different skill sets this guy has, he's probably an end of day one guy in a normal draft. But in this draft, I do think he's probably like a top 15 pick, which is crazy, right? It's absolutely crazy. And when you were talking about, like, I was thinking maybe like the Cowboys, you guys need both a linebacker and an edge rusher. And, you know, if you lose DeMarcus Lawrence and DeMarvin Overshown's injury, it's like, okay, Jalen Walker at 11 might or 12 might actually happen, which is like a little scary for you guys, for sure.
That's a bit. I mean, Campbell should still be there. Just take Campbell. When are we going to talk about that guy?
We're going to talk about Campbell right now. Who's going to go at 11 to the 49ers? So you guys won't have an opportunity to. But Jahad Campbell, 21 years old, out of Alabama, 6'3", 235, 3 years at Bama, 1,300 career snaps, 4.52 40 time, 81.6 defensive grade, 81 run defensive grade, 76.3 pass rushing grade, 80.1 coverage grade. You hit it on the head, right? This is the linebacker one of this class. The way he plays in space is abnormal. It's like an animal released from a cage. He's hungry. He's hunting. He's very patient. He's explosive. It's like a torpedo going off, right? The way he engages and the way he steps up into, like, when he sees it and he's reacting, it's very quick. It's torpedo-like. I love his build. I like his size. I wish he had 10 more pounds on him. On film, I thought he did. I thought he was going to end up being 245. He's only 235. But 21 years old, that doesn't mean he won't end up being 245, you know, 3-4 years from now. And, you know, the negatives, though, we didn't really talk too much about negatives. I saw, like, you did your film, you know, you did plug a couple plays in there, but there was a few things that I thought you didn't really hit on. And that is that he has a really hard time also disengaging from blocks. Once somebody gets their hands on him, like, well, he's kind of done. And it was interesting because of how powerful he looks, how quick he looks, how explosive. I expected him to be a lot more dangerous when he's engaging blocks, and he wasn't, right? You showed a lot of plays where he's beating blocks because of the vision he has, the skill sets he has to read and react. But once somebody does get his hands on him, he kind of loses the rep. And that's a big concern for me when you're talking about a linebacker that could potentially be a top 12 pick, right? Like, that's concerning for me. Again, any other given draft, I'd say this is probably like 18 to 25 in the first round type of player. But because of this draft, that's pick 12 for me, or pick 11, 49ers. But go ahead, give me your summary.
Yeah, no, that's right. So when I watched him, the name that came to me was Floyd Mayweather. Because I'm watching him, and it's there's a lot of traffic around him, and he's just so deftly just navigating. He's got the footwork, the feel. Like, I mean, we saw, again, just eluding a double team on his way to the ball carrier with his shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage the entire way. That is rare. And so to me, yes, if he gets, like we saw the first play of Demetrius Knight there against LSU, I mean, boom, right away, he is head on with a guard, and he's able to swat and disengage and go ahead and make the tackle on the near hip of the ball carrier. It's not quite Campbell's game. He's going to have to develop that a little bit, sure. But when you are so silky smooth like that, the amount of times they're really going to get on you is pretty rare. It looks, there's going to be times where he looks dead to rights. And the next thing you know, he's going to be a half a gap over and he's going to be able to make the play. I think there's going to be an adjustment period with him because he is so athletic. He is playing to his athletic strength. So when he does duck under blocks, part of that is when he ducks under blocks, he's going to have to take them head on and he's going to have to learn to swim in those waters. In college, he doesn't do that often because he doesn't have to, because he will go under a block and then just make up ground when he chases down the play. Can't do that in the NFL, period. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Eagles or you're playing the Jaguars. It just doesn't work that way. So he's going to have to learn to take on blocks either more square or just go over blocks. So that's going to be his adjustment, which probably would have shown more on tape if he wasn't just so comfortable using his athleticism to go under blocks. So that is the adjustment there, but it's one of those deals where you're right. He's going to go to San Francisco at 11 and we're going to go, oh great. They went from Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman to Fred Warner to, oh, now they got Shahad Campbell. They just keep it going. It's going to be two decades full of just amazing linebacker play. And everyone's going to be kicking themselves wondering how the NFL allowed this to happen. And probably because the NFL is busy drafting guys like Jalen Walker in the top 15. Not that he's not a bad player.
Dude, I couldn't agree with you more. And it's funny because, like, it, again, what I'm seeing is that team, like, most mocks from the top guys are having Jalen Walker picked above Jahad Campbell. And I think that's like a crime. It should be a sin against humanity. And I think, you know, there are positions where the flexibility to play all over the place is more favorable. And that's when I talk about guys like Brian Branch and Malachi Starks, like where I say, this is a true safety. But if you need him to cover a slot guy, if you need him to cover a tight end, he could do all that. Like that, to me, that's extremely valuable. And it actually has value because they do both really well. But Jalen Walker doesn't play linebacker well today. Like he just doesn't, right? He plays edge really well, but he's a 6'1", 240-pound edge rusher. And that typically doesn't really do too hot in the NFL, right? Because it's significantly undersized. So like I'm sitting here going, I get why the NFL is going to love Jalen Walker. I think he's going to go at a certain spot. I hope a team takes him and plays him at edge rusher, but if they take him and put him at linebacker, I'm probably out on him. I probably have him as my linebacker, like four, where Campbell is like, it's so obvious what he is. And honestly, like I was seeing Roquan Smith, I think is 2 inches shorter than him. So a little bit bulkier, right? They're a similar weight, but a little bulkier if you're 2 inches shorter. But I think Jahad Campbell, because he has better size, I think he's going to be better. Like I think 3-4 years from now, we're talking about Jahad Campbell as the better linebacker than a Roquan Smith is. And I think Roquan Smith today is easily a top five linebacker in the NFL. And I think Jahad Campbell has that ability. So like, it's funny because when we talked about like what positions in this draft, do we have elite players? I never really heard anybody say linebacker. I think Jahad Campbell might be an elite linebacker for me. Like I might put that like E tag on him when I do my rankings. I don't think he's number one. I don't think he's number one for me in the era, but like he's top three.
That just says more about the linebackers than it does maybe Campbell. Not that Campbell's not fantastic because he is. I just fawned over him for an hour. But for the all 22 players listening in, right? And if you're not plugged, go download the app or go on the website all-22.com. It's a struggle with linebackers. There's only like three in the entire NFL you could trust week to week. And everything we just described, everybody is fit dependent except for perhaps Jahad Campbell, right? Schlesinger, yeah, he's probably going to be a steady guy. Walker, kind of see where he goes, and that's definitely fit dependent. Two down player for Knight, one down player possibly for Paul, and then you kind of have limitations with all the other backers in the class down the line. So there's not a lot of reinforcements on the way at linebacker. There's maybe one guy and then a couple guys that you can kind of fit in here or there, depending on fit and landing spot. So, I mean, yeah, I guess in the all 22 era, he's definitely going to be up there because who the hell else is there?
Yeah, but I think he's like, I don't mean that as a diss. You meant it as a diss. I didn't. I mean, like,
I mean as a diss. I'm just,
yes,
I'm
you
just
did.
Looking,
yes,
at,
you,
I'm yes, looking you at, did. At the lay of the land. Like, yes, he's from New Jersey. He gets underblocked and he should have went to linebacker U, which was much closer to home. And he wouldn't have that bad habit. If you're going to wear number 11, be about it. But in any event, no, he's a fantastic player. Just,
yeah,
the E tag is high praise.
I'm giving him the E tag. Like, I already decided. I think he's that. And like, all of the issues I have with him are issues that I think he's going to easily solve as he matures, as he gains weight, as he gets a little bit older. I think he's going to mature into a better player, like a much better player than I saw on tape as like a true traditional linebacker. And I think that's what teams are going to really want him to be because of the kind of the build that he has. I don't see him like there are guys every year, like last year, like Edgerrin Cooper that went to the Packers where he ended up being like a, you know, an early second round pick and he did well in his first season, but he's more of that. Like, I want to run all over the place. Kind of like a knight, right? Like in this class, like I want to run all over the place. I just want to be an athlete. I think Jahad Campbell's a more disciplined player than that today. The build's much better, but like the player and the fundamental skills that he has to me are much better and more of that traditional mindset. And I think he's going to have more week over week to success. And like the guys that I put the E tag on need to do everything well. And that's, I mean, Jack Campbell, the other Campbell, it's Campbell soup in here, dude. Like the other Campbells, the Jack other Campbell. Elite, the other elite Campbell linebacker I
you
had.
You gave Campbell the E tag? Oh my goodness.
100%. Year two, he was elite. Like this is, we're talking about one of the only linebackers in the NFL that week over week in the All-22 platform was having like 70 grades every week. It was consistent, right? Maybe he wasn't at 80 or 90 yet, but to me, when you have a linebacker that's young and he's grading consistently in the 70s, that's really, really good. Like, that's really good. And in year three, you expect it to get better and better and better. So I definitely have a type. It's guys named Campbell. I'm excited. I'm putting an E tag on him for sure.
All right. There you have it. That's your E tag. I have him below that, just below that, but yeah, great player and clearly number one. I would not have Walker over him in any respect, even if Walker's an edge at that point. I mean, the edge class in this year is pretty darn good too. So I wouldn't have Walker that high. So in any scenario, I can't see myself drafting Walker ahead of Campbell. I just can't see it.
Well, I did try to think of that too, right? Because that is where the conversation leads. It's if we were putting him in that edge group, how would he rank in that group? Right. And I think it gets tough because there are some really good edge rushers this year. And I don't think he was better than he's obviously not better than Carter, Green, or Pierce. I didn't have him better than Stewart. You might, but I didn't. So the conversation kind of starts at like the Mykel Williams or Nick Scourton kind of range. But those guys are 20 pounds heavier than him, right? And can put their hand in the ground and do things different. So it's, I would probably put him in that range, that five or six range in the edge group this year. So like, again, I liked him. I liked the motor that he brings. But if somebody plays him at true linebacker, I think it'll be a nightmare.
He'd be above Scorton for me if he's an edge rusher. He'd probably be a little bit below Mykel. And that's because Mykel, I think, is even younger. And, I mean, he's been playing the position he's comfortable. He has a lot of the same athletic traits you look for, so better frame for it. But, no, he'd be high up if he was an edge for me. I think you're onto something there with the position projection, if you will. But, again, depends on fit. Like I said, I'm going to stump the table for the Commanders to take him because now he's a perfect fit for Dan Quinn where he can play like an edge rusher from a backer spot and just, oh my gosh, that fits him so well.
Yeah, it definitely does. But all right, I think we are just about out of time here. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't yet, please give us a review on Facebook or on wherever you watch or listen to your podcast. Give us a follow. Yeah, on Facebook, sure. Yeah. Instagram, X, TikTok, wherever you are on social media, but definitely go to all-22.com and sign up, download us on the App Store today and start playing All-22. It's an awesome game. Also, if you want us to be able to review five or six more linebackers every year, right, to show that depth, you got to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel so that we get seen a little bit more, right? We could quit our day jobs and start doing this permanently, which we're on the brink of. I see it happening pretty soon.
Sure.
But thanks for tuning in.
I'm all about quitting.
Have a great rest of your day.
Welcome.